B-Pod Studios.
Boston's home for sports. Karen Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I've been playing too long to, you know, look past an opponent. These guys are, you know, good team. They always play us tough, and we're expecting their best game.
Welcome to Flood Stadium for this week 3 encounter of the New England Patriots and the 0-2 New York Jets. Let's go. Great team to snap. Ahead off the Michelle. Running it to the right. Tucking inside. Hunt with a dive. He's into the end zone. Touchdown. Patriots. Now on a wide open door. Set at the 10. Right to the 5. Scooting in for the score. Touchdown. Patriots. Drop back. Hit by Holy Tower. He'll be sacked by Butler. He throws it to Edel, comes back to make the catch. Touchdown, Patriots.
Quarterback is feeling it, boy.
Matthew Slater keeps it in play. Oh. Drops it at the one as he runs into the end zone. Hummel. Check it down to Brady. Backs up from the 32. Steps up, throws it to the near side. Gordon leads it to five. Oh, makes the catch. He brought it down. Taking a jump by Darrell Roberts. Landing inbounds at the 4. Dorsett left with Gordon. Brady under center. Dorsett speeds in motion left to right. Fake to him. Toss to Marquette left. With Newhouse to lead the way. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Well, that was sexy.
The Patriots now off to the 3-0 start for the 11th time overall. The 7th under Bill Belichick. The Jets at 0-3. Chance to regroup in the bye. These teams will meet again in the Meadowlands in week 7 after this 30-14 win for the Pats today.
Scott, this is one of those, let's get in, let's get the hell out of here with a win.
Yeah? You got fighter jets, though.
America, man, I told you about that.
Yes,
that's how we exert. Look at that little half turn, little wing dip. Badass.
Zoe likes that. Zoe likes that a lot. Okay, Zoe, look forward to your
fuel. Burn power, I love it.
Yep, looks like we're getting a flyover for the anthem today.
About 7 miles a gallon, that bad boy. Look at that thing's on its turn. That's a barrel roll.
Today's kickoff is presented by Scotty's, the official tissue of the New England Patriots. When Stephen Gostkowski kicks off, cheer loudly.
He's Tim Allen from Home Improvement.
Fantastic.
I mean, that was like a skit from Home Improvement.
Scotty's, the official tissue of the New England Patriots. When
burning in 7 miles a gallon. Get 7 miles a gallon for an airplane. So they can fly.
7 gallons to a mile, I think.
Right. Yeah, 7 gallons to a mile. So they can, they basically can go 20 miles and then they gotta land.
That's right. They can only fly from Boston to Foxborough. Then they have to stop.
Then they gotta land. They're very good.
Refuel again.
Right. In an act of war. It's going to be very quick, or you're not going
to
get
it. It's amazing all the aircraft carriers, all those planes have to land on when they fly from California to Japan.
Yeah, you get up there and you're like, all right. Got to go back. Bob Soucy, hot takes are powered by Bigelow Tea. If you want to know what keeps Bob's voice in peak condition, I have a joke, but I can't. It's iffy if I can say it. It's a hot cup of Bigelow tea before every game. I can't say it. Hot takes and hot tea. Bigelow tea proudly. And he is on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Bob Soucy, hello.
Hey, good morning. You got to say it now.
No, I can't. Really.
We had enough trouble with Merriweather last hour.
All right. So,
yeah, so what is your opinion on pubic hair?
No, hang on a second. So, Bob, I want to give you credit, is that I was listening to the pregame, and, like, obviously something cut out from whatever dueling piano bar they're at, and you had to, like, be pressed into action, and I know how that must feel. They, like, had to grab you probably and immediately just go BS for, like, as long as you can, and you handled it like a champ.
Well, I really appreciate that. Thank you, Fred. It's all those years of broadcasting minor league baseball to an audience of two. myself and our board op from, you know, remote outposts like Clinton, Iowa and Fayetteville, North Carolina. So and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Have you ever just gotten like during one of those broadcasts, you know, I've completely run out of things to say?
No, it's like Brian Basketball. You got to be in tune the entire time.
Damn right. You got to bring your study materials.
No, but that's like, so what do? They just like chase you down and grab you and go like, you got to talk?
Well, I was scheduled to go on during that segment, so I was in the booth and ready.
Okay.
And we lost the station. We lost the connection to Howl at the Moon, and we weren't sure in the booth whether we lost the connection to the station or whether it was the station to those guys remote at Patriot Place, and it turned out it was the latter. So Jeremy Conley, who does a great job in the control room during game days and has done ever since I got here, let me know that, hey, we lost those guys. And Howie Sylvester chimed in and said, can you fill some time until we get them back? And I said, well, let's give it a go.
Yeah, it's working in radio. It's one of the great things when I hear them having to repeat an intro and knowing something has gone horribly wrong.
Because we've lived it.
Yeah,
because I've lived it
a bunch of times.
Right.
I got locked out of the station for going to the bathroom, and I was out of the station for 20 minutes one night, and there was nothing on the air. So there you go.
So was Zolak really that enamored with the planes that were flying over?
I guess so. I had not heard that until just now.
I don't believe him.
That was awesome.
I don't believe that he was that enamored. I think he was being Captain America.
Yeah. Well, when they flew over after the national anthem, we could really only see them on the video board or the shadow, you know, cast on the stadium and the fans as they were flying overhead. They were so high, and the way our booth is on the concourse level, couldn't really see them other than looking at the video boards. And you know, he seemed to be thrilled, but not. I guess you know the real thrill had worn off after the pregame.
Oh, so you're even saying that that you couldn't even see it. So, again, proving my point that he was trying to be like Captain America.
Not during that one. He was not with
He was down. I think he might have been down on the field for the first one. Because they did one well before kickoff, and then they did one right before kickoff as soon as the national
anthem. What the hell is going on?
It was a warm-up.
Yeah, what were they doing flying over twice?
You got to practice the ruse. I mean, you don't want to get lost.
Like, let's go to war. Like, what are we doing?
Imagine all the fuel they used.
Well, that's according to Scott.
Miles a gallon.
I mean, they're only getting 7 miles a gallon.
Yeah. All right. So, what is going on with? And we were talking this morning about how when you have a team that can score 30 at will because the passing game is so good, you tend to not really look as much on the running game. But it's been pretty bad over the last couple of weeks, especially Sony Michel. What are you seeing, and what's different, and why isn't it working this year?
Yeah, it has been. You know, yesterday I saw, you know, a few times too many jets in the backfield on a couple of those plays that really had no chance in developing. And I don't know if it's, you know, you had a couple of guys who were at tackle last week that were new to the team. You had one yesterday. You know, they do a lot of pulling with their tackles and a lot of movement with their, you know, their guards as well. I don't know if it's a timing issue in part. I don't know if it's a case where, you know, Sony's not reading things correctly. I thought yesterday, frankly, though, that he had very little chance to make much yardage out of the opportunities he had. They did score the touchdown on that first run. And I think that's been an improvement. He's been better in terms of some short yardage conversion situations very early this season, down near the goal line or on some third and shorts. But it's a concern. It is a concern. And I think that, you know, they've had so many moving pieces on the offensive line, even though it's strange to say that because you think, well, they've got still got, you know, 80% of that offensive line are guys who've been here and guys who've logged a lot of snaps, frankly. But they've brought in a lot of different players since the end of the preseason. So it tells me that, you know, they're still working on some things in terms of, you know, trying to get those guys coached up and get them in sync. Dante Skarnecki always says it's five is one, is a whole unit working is one. But it's something definitely to keep an eye on. I will say this, the Jets, you know, for all their deficiencies, they did a good job the previous week with really the same personnel defending the run against Cleveland and Nick Chubb. I think the Patriots have a better offensive line, though, so you expect more out of the running game. Also, you have to think that it was a focal point. Sony Michel ran for 133 against the Jets in their second meeting last year. But, you know, somebody who knows offensive line play, somebody who knows the running game far better, you can study the film, break it down better than I can, might have some answers. I really don't. I thought there were a couple of plays yesterday, though, where clearly there were some guys who were getting pushed back or people were pulling and just, you know, not blocking anybody, missing, you know, missing the timing, missing where, you know, where the responsibility was. But it's something that they've got to refine. They've got to get better at it.
All right, Bob, reading what people are saying on social media today, I guess Brady had some comments about Antonio Brown that are interpreted as he didn't want him to leave. They're interpreting it as that G Do you believe, from what you've been hearing around the facility, that Belichick and Brady weren't thrilled about the release of Antonio Brown? All right, don't laugh. Yeah, you're there. Come on, boy.
Yeah, well, I haven't had a conversation with either one of them.
Well, of course you don't. You got no access. I'm asking you, what are you hearing?
Well, Bill didn't look too thrilled about the subject yesterday, what Dana Jacobs said.
Yeah, he's a real sweetheart.
Very, very professionally posed that question. I think that, you know, there's a lot of speculation that certainly the move was made, whether Tom actively sought beforehand to have Antonio Brown acquired by the Pats, or just embraced it once he was acquired by the Pats. You know, there's been wide speculation about that. I think that, you know, in part two, he's speaking today after he sees Edelman get hurt yesterday, after Gordon hurts his finger, though he played well, actually played better. After that, you know, and after finishing a game where they really sputtered for the most part offensively, it's strange to say, though, they scored 30 points and they had a lot of success early, and then after that did not. And he finished the game with Gunnar Olszewski out there and Jacoby Myers, and you had guys that he was throwing to in training camp before they assembled what was a pretty potent wide receiver group. So I don't know if that colors his comment today a little bit. Yeah, I saw a transcript that one of the reporters put on Twitter of that question and answer. And to me, it just seemed like, you know, kind of Tom's standard answer.
I agree.
A lot of things.
That's I didn't think anything of it until I read people interpreting it as that him and Belichick were unhappy. I didn't get anything, nor do I ever, from his interviews. But
that's the way I read it at first, Fred. I think if some people interpreted it that way, I would go back maybe and consider what those people had speculated on or reported prior to the release of Antonio Brown. They may have they may have greater insight. Probably, honestly, the beat guys, far more of them do, when it comes to subjects like this, because they've been working Brady's camp and they've been trying to unearth the whole timeline of how everything transpired. So, you know, I think that probably people that already had a fair baseline of knowledge and insight, you know, maybe can speculate on that and, you know, reach that conclusion, or at least, you know, make that assertion. I just read it as Tom being Tom when it comes to positivity and embracing everyone and not judging everyone. Pretty consistent with something he said last week about social media, too.
Well, all I know is that this is a game that was somewhat of a blowout. It was a little closer than it should have been, but at least in the end, you guys didn't have to go back to your stories of what's it called when you did double-A baseball and doing that. There was a little bit of interest in Gunnar Olszewski shanking a punt and then, you know, a little pick six from Stidham to keep things interesting for you guys in the booth.
Well, thankfully, Rich, because I don't know where we were going after Zoe started commenting on the coach's sideline attire and Lululemon pants came into the conversation in the broadcast.
Yeah.
You know, the next step, I don't know, you know, where we were going to go after that. But it's funny, too. I think the Jets played hard. These teams are going to meet in week 7. The Jets figure to have Sam Darnold back. They figure to have C.J. Mosley and Jordan Jenkins back, and maybe Quinnen Williams, the first round pick, third overall this year. Helps to fortify their defense. And, you know, as bad as it was for the Jets and as poorly as they started, and with three different quarterbacks in 3 weeks, I think when you look ahead of the week 7 meeting, if you're the Jets, you come away from the game yesterday, and there are some things you can look forward to and take some positives from. And I think for the Patriots, it's weird because they dominated the game. It felt like it was 90-0, and yet it was a 2-score difference in the end, and they made some mistakes, not necessarily in defense, but in other areas yesterday, and with the injuries mounting on the offensive side, it's not a win you feel great about. I think if you're inside that locker room, inside that facility today, I'm sure that the meetings and the film review isn't glowing today. Not everybody's getting two thumbs up, I would imagine. So as dominating as it was, it kind of, at the end, leaves you with some mixed feelings at best.
Maybe Slater just goes, how does it feel? He doesn't get that excited.
He doesn't say, how does it feel? It's more of a, hey, how's it feel? Guys?
How's it feel? I guess. All right, Bob Soucy, play-by-play voice of your New England Patriots. Thank you so much for the time.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
All right, see you, man. Right,
there you go. Bob, always very forthcoming.
By the way, when we get back, Tom Brady might have actually saved all of us from crappy football this season. He did something that actually had a massive effect. And you know what? When he did it, I knew that something like this might happen.
Yeah. He's got the ear of the league, that's for sure. We will be right back.
It can do more than just play fart noises.
That's just disgusting.
Yes, your Amazon or Google smart speaker can play the hot air coming from Boston's home for sports. Just say, play 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, so I don't know where you're going with this, but I'm excited.
Toucher and Rich.
Better hang on to your hat.
Because I got a take a coming.
On Boston's home for sports.
Take, take. Is it the take train?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Holden off the right hip of Brady. Takes the snap. Backpedals. He looks left. He scans it to the left. He throws it to Edelman. Comes back to make the catch. Touchdown, Patriots. Brady releasing just as he was hit.
Man, quarterback is feeling it, boy.
It's called a high, John.
I said that.
John didn't know what the Jewish emblem
was. I had to look it up, but I told you that already.
Even though you went to Camp Young Judea, no one had a high?
I'm sure there were many, many that had highs.
Because what year did you go to Camp Young Judea?
Oh, geez. Early 80s? It's a long time ago.
That had to be the height of the Gold High movement.
There was a Gold High movement?
Wouldn't you think gold chains, Rich, early 80s is probably the height of them?
Well, and like, because that was an era where the chest hair flowed, and it could just kind of rest on the tuft.
Yeah.
You know?
Those with afros rocked the chest hair, yes.
Yes, and then you would have a Frank Viola who would have a horn of plenty.
Yeah.
And he would rock that. Based on your ethnicity or your religion, you would choose your gold emblems wisely.
Yes.
Yes. So, they're coming back, you know. Gold necklaces.
They are.
Well, you obviously haven't been keeping up with the Jersey Shore, but the Pauly D has a thick, thick gold chain with a head of what is supposed to resemble Jesus on it. And then Vinny has a small one that just has a V. And they were having fun with each other about how Vinny's was smaller than Pauly.
My golden Jesus is bigger than your golden Jesus?
He didn't have a Jesus, but the very hard to figure out that's supposed to be Jesus around Pauly D's neck.
Okay, all I know is that when you're talking about Wallach in 1982, I just immediately
Hey,
just
Mo!
Hey, guys. I got, look what I got on 45. It's the curly shuffle. Yeah.
Hit a Dr. Demento head.
Jonathan, we have a gift for you when you get home. Right when you get back from YJ, we have a gift waiting for you in your room.
We've got Disco Duck.
We got a 45. It had one of those little spoke things in the middle.
Do you like Barnes and Barnes? We got your fish heads. I even knew the name of the artist.
Well, fish heads was like a video they played because they only had like 8 videos.
Right.
On MTV. Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
So if you had to list, what were all the novelty records?
Well, I was the Weird Al Yankovic was always there. You know, the I Love Rocky Road, that kind of thing.
They're so funny.
Yeah, well, it was.
Lost on Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Baby.
Yep.
Greg Kinband was that?
Yes, Greg Kinn was the original. Weird Al was Lost on Jeopardy.
I know.
Might as well face it, you're addicted to spuds.
That's right.
You like potatoes.
I mean, he's so funny. Yeah. Yabba dabba doo, yabba doo now. Yabba dabba dabba doo.
I never heard that one.
Oh, yeah, it's really funny.
Is that the give it away?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
And even Flea came out and said, like, I thought it was going to be funny. Yeah, yabba dabba dabba doo, yabba doo now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what did you have?
I had the Dare to Be Stupid album, if I remember correctly. We did Buckner and Garcia. We did Pac-Man Fever.
Buckner Garcia's Pac-Man Fever. And then they had a follow-up. It was like Do the Donkey Kong, I think.
I don't know what. I didn't do the follow-up. I just had that one.
So would you listen to these records and like crack up?
Hang on. What? What was that, Dan?
Guess his net worth.
Whose?
Weird Al.
Oh, okay.
Oh, hey, not $180.
I thought you said Buckner and Garcia's worth.
No. Oh, yeah. Fred was saying it's very funny, and I said, yeah, the man's probably made a living out of it, but I didn't know it was that much.
Yeah, Weird Al's $100 million, I'm betting.
Oh, no.
No, he's not 100 million.
No, he's like 40 million.
This says 16 to 20.
Oh.
As of 2019.
Well, he tours and still does well.
Like, no, I think, he still tours.
Oh, I'm sorry. My source was wealthygorilla.com. I may have to check that.
That is
not just gorilla.
They get
wealthy
that right
gorilla.
From the IRS. They know immediately what's going on.
Wealthy gorilla.
That's the first one that came up on Google.
He's been doing it for 40 years.
How much is Denny Gibson worth on wealthygorilla.com?
No, legit, it is 40.
Yeah, he's been doing it for 40 years.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he had a number one song when it didn't matter anymore, but he had a number one song.
Number one album. You're talking about that mandatory fund that came out. And matter of fact, he just played the Bank of America, what is it called now? I forget. The one that's over by the seaport. It
used to be Harbor Lights.
Yes. He sold that place out.
I wish I would have gone to that show just to see the crowd.
See, like, all you know what it was? It was a bunch of dads with their kids. Like my kids love Weird Al. They love Weird Al.
I just picture people with, like, novelty, like, flowers. And
now to see, like, you know, like when you go to Disney and you see like the adults together, that would have been funny to see like a group of wallets.
Oh no, I'm saying that a Weird Al show,
a pack of wallets in the wild.
First of all, how do your kids?
I think they're called a gaggle, but that's all right.
How have your kids been introduced to Weird Al?
They're friends. As a matter of fact, there was a song called "Party in the CIA," which was a parody of "Party in the USA," which they were all singing at school. And then there's another like new one that they were into.
And he kept saying,
please, you know, I want to listen as well. Oh, like Amish Paradise, they think is like the greatest thing ever. They don't even know what it's from. They just didn't know the Amish Paradise.
Do they know what Amish is?
They do now, you know, but all their friends were singing it. He sings with a funny voice like this the whole time. So that makes them laugh.
My opinion is very different than yours. I would imagine the crowd's 90% old school Weird Al fans,
which would be great.
Oh my God.
I mean, I would love that.
Finger traps and like.
Right, everyone's giving each other trick gum.
Yeah.
Oh, you got me. Joy buzzers. This guy's walking around with the x-ray glasses. Ooh.
Exactly. Like the Groucho Marx, like nose. And like.
Pardon me, sir. Do you need to blow your nose? Have this handkerchief. And it just keeps on coming out of
like, I bet you it's just like constant merriment.
Imagine if in a bit. Go down there and just ask adults if they can do a magic trick for you.
Yeah.
How many people at Weird Al can do a magic trick?
I wonder how many people. Or they have fake vomit and they're like,
percentage.
Percentage?
Oh, yeah. That know a magic trick?
Oh, know a magic
yes.
trick?
Yes,
oh,
percentage.
Like oh, yeah. 100%.
100%. Okay.
And that many people have the wild Hawaiian shirt with the Chuck Taylors?
Everybody. With the Chuck Taylors, right. They look like the guitars.
That's
of
a
Faith
good
and
point.
More.
Like, yeah, that's everybody. Everybody, like, it's like parrot heads.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Yep.
Would you go see Weird Al?
No. I have no interest.
I'd bring my kids.
I would not go.
For what?
Because they'd love it. They'd have a great time.
Al TV.
And I gotta see the crew and I gotta see the crowd that's there too.
Yeah.
See, I would have gone for the crowd. I think that would have been great. Like every not fake doggy to you. Oh, it looks like you stepped in something. Psych.
Or like the people who know what song's coming up by like something he puts up on the screen. Oh, this is from scene 8 of UHF.
Or did they just go like when he does the polka stuff and like the whole medley of polka songs like hits? Damn it, I wish I would have known that show was coming. I would have gone.
No, you wouldn't have.
Hand buzzers.
The joy buzzers everywhere. You go, oh, you got me.
Like every accountant.
We're getting wild.
Yeah, they're wearing like plaid, you know, suit jackets. They're having the time of their lives.
The hats that clap when you pull strings.
Oh, Jesus.
They're slipping on banana peels.
Right, like, yay! Like when the song's over, they're clapping with their
exactly.
Hat.
Or they have dickies that like they get roll up. How many tuxedo t-shirts? Damn it, I wish I would have gone to see Weird Al.
He just finished his tour. Sorry, Fred.
Damn it.
Gonna wait for his next album.
I remember when I was like 17, my dad gave me a present. And it was the first time he'd ever given me a present, like, you know, that he went out and bought.
Yeah.
And it was a Weird Al Yankovic vinyl album.
Yeah.
And it just... Well, my dad gave me a Nintendo Power Glove when he thought that virtual reality was going to be the next thing. And the Nintendo Power Glove had a weird thing of not being capable of doing
it. It was the worst. It was the worst. The only thing worse was Virtual Boy, which was the black and white thing that you strapped to your eyes and completely made you cross-eyed.
He just came here, Weird Al Yankovic, and he was so proud of himself. He's like, you're a loser that's trapped in the early 80s. Here's crap. Enjoy your crap, son.
Merry Crapmas.
It's 1992. I'm popping up a Weird Al record.
It was 92 when you got it?
I was 17.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And he was, like, all proud of himself. Like, I was like, he'd been to Kmart or something. I was like, you know what? My son's an idiot. My son seems to be a virgin, even though I wasn't. Not like I was going to get laid again anytime soon. All right, what's coming up there in the stack of roosters?
Well, Rambo gets his ass kicked by a bunch of foppish dandies. A bunch of shows he didn't watch won Emmys, and Tom Brady just saved the NFL.
Headlines.
No parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all,
it's Kutcher and Rich.
I read you loud and clear.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack is brought to you by Cumberland Farms. Stop by your local Cumberland Farms and get $2 breakfast. Or, I'm sorry. Rewind.
Zoo, zoo, zoo. Yep.
Stop by your local Cumberland Farms and get 2 breakfast sandwiches for $4. Hurry, this is a limited time offer. Let me, I want to take this real quick. Nick, go ahead, Nick and Nick.
Hey, Fred, or should I say Slater, wondering if you could break down the science and the physics behind your crazy diversion inbound pass thing yesterday.
Yes, Isaac Asimov once said, when one uses their trajectory at a 90-degree angle, that is, you get the front.
Very well said. Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Matthew Slater. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Well, it was the stare.
You're welcome.
The stare that spawned a million comments. The death stare from Bill Belichick to Dana Jacobson. This is, if you did not see it before the game, Dana Jacobson went and asked Bill Belichick about Antonio Brown, and what ended up being afterwards was a stare that felt like it was forever. In reality, it was probably only about 2 seconds long, but it was a "what the hell are you thinking" type of stare to Dana Jacobson.
I think I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, what was the final straw with Antonio Brown?
Yeah, we're focused on the Jets today.
Thank you, Coach. Thank you,
Dana.
So my opinion was, because this has happened before, what I had thought, and I just had speculated, is that what more than likely happened was Bill Belichick knew that he had to do a little hit with CBS. And Dana Jacobson's waiting there.
Yeah, and Dana Jacobson, who's no one's ever heard of.
Right, right.
He's a scrappy young reporter.
Right, right.
No experience.
Sure. Yeah,
not on national television 5 days a week.
That's right.
The way that I imagined it was a handler went up and said, you can talk to him about anything except for do not ask him about Antonio Brown. And Dana Jacobson saying, no, that's the big story I'm going to ask about. And she went ahead and fired away. And that's why I assumed he was so pissed afterwards. However, if you do not know, Dana Jacobson is engaged to our own Sean Grandy, who is the voice of your Boston Celtics here on our station. And John, you actually reached out because I kind of wanted to find out what the behind the scenes story was. And what did he say to you?
According to Sean, the Patriots did not ask Dana to not mention it. So they didn't say anything to her.
Why would she talk about the biggest sports story in the country?
Then that's extra reason. Well, she to go, why done, the hell I mean, did he do that?
Even if they had, she would have asked him anyway.
No,
it's,
I know.
It's what she does.
No, I know.
She's a pro. Of course she would have asked.
He looked at her like he was going to hit her. And I don't want to make too much out of it that doesn't need to be made of it. But, I mean, he's intolerable. He's just... I was talking about friends about this. Patriots friends, fans... this weekend, and it's like he must, you know how like when you're neurotic, and we talked about this before, and then like you get super rich, like you can kind of like protect yourself from anything that would like,
of course,
give you
anxiety. You're talking about yes men, and everyone thinks right. Says what you're doing
I,
is the
I
right
just
thing.
Think that he is like so accustomed to success in like it feeds him that he believes that he's better than everyone else. I just think that he thinks that he's better than everyone. And he's not better than Dana Jacobson. He's better than me. But Dana Jacobson deserves a little bit of respect. and like glare. Like, what did he expect? Like, what was she supposed to do?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, what is she supposed to do there?
It's
not like she, like, you know, like slammed in and, you know, he's got to be on TV.
Sorry, she didn't catch him off guard.
How much does CBS pay to have the NFL, would you gather?
Billions of dollars.
Okay, so, yeah, I get 5 minutes with you, or I get 3 minutes with you, jackass. My company is paid billions of dollars for the right to broadcast your game, stupid. And now you're going to sit here and you're going to act like I'm the enemy?
Or just like, don't, I mean, you don't have to answer the question.
No,
but as you
I don't
said,
care about like asking answering the question. I don't expect them to. Just like with the press conference, the first Antonio Brown press conference. I didn't expect them to answer anything.
And the other thing she's getting crap for is there's a bunch of people
saying. She's getting crap?
Yes. She's getting a lot of crap.
That's crazy.
And she's getting crap for people saying, well, why did you even ask the question?
Because it's the biggest story. It led off Good Morning America again today.
Yes, and he's the one responsible, one of the people for making that decision. So if he's the only one who's going to have access to the press,
and I don't
you're not going to talk to the Krafts.
And I don't think that he wanted to get rid of him. I really don't. I don't buy Shaughnessy's thing about the Krafts.
Well,
I think that was an unfair piece.
Saying that they get no points for letting him go.
No, and I think that you get points for letting him go because I bet you anything that he didn't want to do it.
You get points for letting him go when you've got a team in the Chiefs that still has Tyreek Hill on the roster. Right. Agreed?
Yeah. How many questions?
I don't agree with Shaughnessy's article.
But the fact that she's getting any crap for any of this.
That's ridiculous.
Is insane. But then again, you know,
Her network only pays billions of dollars.
I mean, you're never going to get anyone to talk about it on the record. You're never going to get an answer. But I think we all know why he was let go. But you have to ask that question. It has to be asked.
And how about, I don't know, forget it. I mean, how about like, I can't talk about it. And then, okay, thanks.
I just want to concentrate on the game. Thank you very much. And just be cordial. And that death stare was something, man.
Because he just thinks she's like so horrible. What a terrible person.
I bet Steve Burton probably cried when he saw that because he thought he was special, the only one that got the death stare. Well, she's like, he does it to everyone.
Steve Burton's getting, you know, 25 bucks a game. Steve Byrne, you can push around a little bit. His kids are going to make him all his money.
All right, when we get back, we've got more news about the...
You're getting mad at Dana Jacobson.
I mean, it's
the end of the world. I mean, it really is. I mean, he treats people so terribly. It's getting worse as time goes by.
I thought before this season he was getting better.
No, he's
and
getting
then the Antonio the Brown thing got the Antonio Brown thing made it just like
you know why because you know why he's probably so pissed is because he really thought that anyone who comes in there it falls right in line, and then when it didn't happen, it took away all the, you know, oh well, if you go to the Patriots, they're so well run that you fall right in the line, and when it didn't happen, it makes them look bad, and it did make them look bad.
Yeah,
it made them look dumb. And now they're going to go 19-0 and win the Super Bowl, and he'll be a prick the whole way. And then he'll come back, and he'll be a prick again. I don't like him, and that's
really. I think you're telling us.
Do you
you've heard?
No, I'm shocked at your stance on this.
Do you like him? Do you think he? That,
I don't
as
think
a person-
I. No, I was there in when they lost the AFC Championship game in Indianapolis. They had that big lead, 06. I was there and was standing right next to him as he did an interview in the tunnel right outside after the game. I forget the poor sap who had asked him questions. And Belichick was as surly as an 8-year-old who just lost his Nintendo Switch.
Do you remember when they lost to New York in the perfect season? And they lost to New York in, like, what a little baby he was
yes.
after the game.
He doesn't handle losing well. He doesn't. He's horrible at it. Horrible at even putting, like, a small shine over him to answer questions.
If you've coached youth sports, if you had a kid act like that after a game.
You sit his ass down.
Yep.
You don't let him play again.
Yep. He acts like a petulant
yes.
10-year-old.
I just said, yes, who just lost his video game system for a week.
And look it. He's a great coach, and they're going to go 9-0.
He's the best ever at what he does.
Right, and I think he's lost complete reality. But you know what? Complete grasp
on doesn't have to be that way for him to still be a great coach.
No, he doesn't.
That's the most infuriating thing about all of
it. He's lost his grip on what it takes to be a normal person. And all for what? Because you win football games? I mean, Jesus.
You know who else says nothing, but you don't feel like they're being an a-hole to you? Tom Brady.
Yes.
He's mastered it.
They're the same, but Brady has done it with a smile for two decades.
Brady says absolutely
of course not.
Nothing.
I don't
in
think
any kind of press conference. He gives you nothing.
I don't think Brady believes that he's like a god. I think that Belichick believes that he is superior to everyone. I think he in his world, and he grew, I've thought about this a lot. He grew up in a football family. He grew up in a military family. I believe what he thinks he's doing is tantamount to being a general in the army. I think that his whole life, the only thing that mattered and was and that gained approval was success at football. And I think that that since he's successful at football, he believes that he's the better than everyone. And I mean, there's got to be an explanation for it. Because it just keeps happening.
When they ask him football questions, yes.
Look, I don't know the guy personally, but I mean, whatever. I don't know. I don't know why he behaves that way. And especially to Dana Jacobson. I mean, her network pays $1 billion for the stupid games. And he can't be bothered to be asked a question about the biggest sports story. Staring at her.
That he
staring
created.
Staring at a female like that. That's great. That's great. Really look her down, Bill. You're a super tough guy. Good for you. Go, walk on the elliptical a little bit more. Big, strong, tough guy. We'll be right back.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. If you missed part of the Toucher and Rich show today, you can listen to the podcast on our website at 98.5thesportshub.com or on the Sports Hub app. And if you're short on time, we have 30-minute condensed versions available as well.
All right, I have to play this before we go. This is from an actual news story out of Philadelphia where a house was on fire. And there were a group of people who were actually catching children who were thrown out of a window. They were down at the bottom and making sure they could catch them out from the top. And once again, this is last night in Philadelphia. This is one of the guys who was catching the kids.
I seen a guy hanging out the window, you know, screaming that his kids was in there and things like that. So I ran to the back door, see if it was open, and it was. I ran upstairs, and then I was greeted with smoke. I ran back downstairs. By that time, the ladder truck was pulling up. And ironically, one of my old coworkers took the ladder off the truck, raised it up. And was assisting people down. My man just started throwing babies out the window. Wow. We was catching them, unlike Aguilar.
Okay. He's sitting there talking about how he's catching kids in a fire. You're catching them, unlike Aguilar. Still pissed off about the loss. Go Philly. If that isn't the most Philadelphia soundbite that I've ever heard, then I don't know what else is. So, Scott Zolak, you excited by planes, are you?
Oh, well, what's happening?
Scotty's the official tissue of the New England Patriots.
That's badass, man. I get so excited when flyovers coming in. These were real out. These were the real fighters. And you just, when they were just dipping wings, man, just slight barrel roll. Oh, it's like Top Gun. I was like, yeah.
The world's.
I just love when we exert our power as a country.
I told you.
That's America right there, man.
I told you.
Because of Atlas PyroVision, they've taken care of me for the fireworks. I do all my parties and that stuff. So a kid had a big win. We shot fireworks off Saturday night. And then I remembered this, Rich, and thanks for bringing it up again. The planes and that, we're outside having a fire pit again last night. I said, let's shoot some more fireworks off for the Pats.
Do me a favor. Do they pay you in, like, free fireworks?
I get a fee, and they take excellent care of me.
Okay. Next time you go to buy fireworks, can you videotape it? I got to think that has got to be your happy place.
It really is.
What's the biggest one that you buy, like to launch in your neighborhood?
You
get like the ones that are like
I do the casings. They're pretty much as big as this screen.
Okay.
You know,
yeah, they're like legitimate. Yeah, like these.
This is a little boy from last night. I just see.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You don't mess around.
They sell those. Whoa. In the
neighbors come, cops come, cops in front.
Whoa!
Wow! Look how pretty.
Look at
is.
That.
That's outside my house, Walt.
Your Jesus. Neighbors must love you.
Oh, they know what's happening.
What time of night is that?
That's probably 10, 10:30. It's a good show.
Every kids, dog's like peeing.
Their kids are all licking the windows, looking out. Like, look at that. They ain't coming outside because of Triple E. But this is how you get rid of the mosquitoes, too. You get that
smoke
everywhere.
Are you in a Triple E?
Oh, yeah.
He's in the hot zone.
Yeah, we don't go anywhere outside, really, at night.
Really?
They've moved practices up and stuff.
Oh, that's got to suck. And that makes it so, like, every practice is, like, Saturday
Everything's
morning and
done
jammed
by
in,
six.
Right?
Everything is finished at 6 o'clock in my town.
That's got to suck for you guys.
Yep.
Yeah, it's one of the hot zones.
They don't come.
I mean, without getting into detail, we knew the poor woman had passed away in Fairhaven.
Oh, it's awful.
Yeah, it's close.
There's like no treatment, no cure right now, right?
Nothing.
Ugh, sucks.
Nope. Yeah.
Yeah.
How was Sosie today?
Thanks, Scott.
Well, how was Sosie today?
Controversial as always.
Sosie was.
Man, I got the cops texting me now. Jeez, thank
you. Whose fault is that?
It's my man, though.
Sosie was.
I said I woke his whole house up with him.
Sosie, unlike Merriweather, did not talk about pubes.
Yeah.
He's got it. Sosie's got them over his chest and back. I told you, we go on the road. They come out, they clean the pool filters at the hotels. They got to dump him out when Bob goes for a swim.
Jeez.
He's got hair in his knuckles. Like, we'll be out eating steaks. And I see him like, look at you. You got monkey hands. It's, wow.
At least he's tall.
Yeah. All right. I thought you were saying, hey, they're playing the kid toss. I think we do that with Reese and him at games. Here, catch one.
Off the upper deck.
We did that at Springsteen. Beetle was there. I was throwing Mike Reese around.
He
was
tossing him around like a volley. Yeah, like a volleyball.
Pick him up, throw him over there.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.